Hey, we just start with a prayer. Gracious God and loving Father, we just give you thanks for this day and this opportunity to come apart for a while, albeit virtually, that we can see each other and hear each other this day and think on thee. We ask for thy help and thy encouragement through the words. Ask that they be thy words through thy spirit. In thy name we pray, amen. So I was thinking about this New Year's coming up here, and it's here. We think about things being new and we know in Saul, Ecclesiastes, nothing new under the sun, but there's things new in our lives, isn't there? And, there's things new from Christ. So I want to read, to start with, I want to read, four portions quickly. I will say the reference at the start and at the end, a couple times, but I will read it quickly because I'd like to read, a few more after these first four. So for context, a little introduction here. Start with 1 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 and 18. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to him by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 21 through 24. If so, that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye might put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Putting on the new man. Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. I'm turning quickly. Pardon that. We'll just expediently go through these verses. Colossians 3, 9 through 10, halfway through the verse 9. Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on the new man. Colossians 2 and verse 16 and 17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or respect of a holiday, holy day, or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. And I read that last verse because I kind of thought about the moon a lot this summer. You know, we have a new year coming, and I think about the new year and I think about the new moon. Does anybody know what the new moon is? The new moon is not visible to our eyes, is it? It's when the moon is between us and the sun, not directly like we have in the solar eclipse, but that is a new moon, the solar eclipse. When the moon is between the sun and us, we don't see the reflection of the sun on the moon. So we might call that a black moon. It's called the black moon. So you don't see it at night sky. But that new moon is interesting. It's in scripture. And we find that. And it's interesting because I've thought about the moon and had an opportunity this summer to go camping. We'll talk about camping a little bit later. Just briefly, but had an opportunity to go camping and to get apart and to think about the Lord, to think about his creation. And I got these binoculars. They're really big binoculars. I should have them. Huge, huge lenses on them. They're for looking at the night sky. And I was just amazed. Me and my nephews and nieces, we looked at the moon, the full moon. just amazed. We could make out all the mountains, all the terrain, and it was just amazing. What a creation. It's amazing that that the Lord has made that moon close to us in a perfect position so that it's the same size as the sun, even though in our perspective, even though it isn't the same size of the sun in reality because of the distance. But it's very interesting. So I've thought about the lunar calendar a little bit, about the Jewish calendar, and I'd like to go over the seven feasts and just a meditational verse for each feast. We're not going to get into prophecy or otherwise, but just a meditational verse for us to be encouraged as this new year goes forward, that we would be encouraged. New moon, maybe I'll explain that a little bit. Maybe everybody's aware or knows, but the Jewish calendar is lunar, right? Goes off of the moon. And the new moon is not really existent, but when Jewish calendar starts, when that new moon, you see that first little sliver of the moon, you see the light on it. That's when the first day of the month starts, and every month thereafter. 15 days about, well, actually it's literally, it's not 15 days. It's, excuse me. It's 15 days and 14.5 hours between each lunar cycle and to the moon. And it lasts about 13 days and 22 and a half year hours. So it's pretty close, 15 days. Think about that. And so we think of that 30-day mark is the full cycle of the moon. And that's how we have a 30-day month in the lunar schedule, in the Jewish calendar. So just amazed by this creation that the Lord has provided to us. But I thought about that new moon, and I was looking up in the sky, and I was thinking, we see a full moon. When does that happen? Well, that happens on the 15th day of the month. Do we know what happens on the 15th day of the month? And I'm encouraged to think, oh, the new moon, thinking about what those feasts were. And in Numbers 28, we have there three different separate offerings that are brought up. I'm just going to mention them. The continual burnt offering, that's every day, morning and evening, every day. What is the morning? What consists of a day for the Jewish, for the Jews or for the Hebrews? A day is actually that when the first three stars, the start of the day is that sunset to sunset. When the first three stars are in the sky, first three stars. So we might, and that sliver of the moon, the start of the month. So, but we just think of that, and it just, what happens every month? And it's interesting there in Numbers 28, we find that there's a continual burnt offering that every day, morning and evening, there is an offering. And that offering is not, it consists of, and we find that all offerings there in the feast, that we're going to go over just briefly, there's a burnt offering. That's an offering of an animal, a live sacrifice. And then there's a meal offering, also burnt before the Lord, and a drink offering. And we'll find that continually, you know, and I like to meditate on that. And that happens also on the first day of the month, every new moon. There's an offering to be offered. And those offerings I'll just kind of rehearse a little bit about the offering. So, for example, on the continual burnt offering, twice a day, they offer a lamb. They offer 2 quarts of flour mingled with 1 quart of beaten oil. I translated that into terms that we kind of understand. A full quart of strong wine is the drink offering. So we have the burnt offering, the meal offering, and the drink offering. You know, what is that? That's of Christ. That blood that was spilt, we look to his sacrifice, don't we? We look to his sacrifice. And we look at the perfection of his life and how it was activated and motivated, and our life should be too, by the Spirit of God, that oil. And that strong drink. I think about that. I think about that drink offering. I think about the joy of the salvation that can be participated in every time we have an offering or worship to the Lord. So these things are to encourage us to worship the Lord and to go forward, to be exercised. Sabbath day, there's offerings every Sabbath day, of course. We have that as a feast day. And then we have the new moon or the beginning of the months. Two young bullocks, 6 quarts of flour, and a quart of wine for each one, and 2 quarts of wine there for each one of those bullocks, and a ram and 7 lambs. And the first year, that's 7 quarts of flour with that one ram, and 1 1/3 quart of wine. I read these things because I don't think we think about the magnitude at which they were encouraged and required by law. Now, we don't have these things before us, but it's a shadow of Christ, isn't it? And we should have that exercise to worship him continually, day and night, right? At the beginning of our months, every month, every day should end and start with a worshiping Christ, right? We should be thinking about his person, his work, and we should be thinking about the joy of our salvation and remind ourselves. So we might be exercised by that. Now, just quickly, we'll read some verses here. We have those feasts, and it's interesting. You know, the feast will come up here. Passover will come soon for the Jews, and which we don't participate in. We don't have that. But the 14th day of the month, we have that Passover. We have the spring feasts. Those are the spring feasts. We have the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the first fruits. That starts in March 26th of this year, 26th or 27th. And then we have the fall feasts. We have the Pentecost or the Feast of Weeks, and we have the Trumpets, the Atonement, and the Tabernacles. And I just want to read a couple of verses to go along with those feasts that have encouraged me. And I want to start with the Passover. 1 Peter 1:18. May we be exercised by these simple thoughts, simple meditation of Christ and how we should be exercised to worship him. 1 Peter 1:18. That Passover lamb. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world and was manifested in these last times for you. What motivation? What motivation to digest that one, to meditate on him, to think on him. Have that blood, have the remembrance of that blood that was put upon the doorposts and the sides of the door. Have the Passover before us. Read a verse that follows. Those feasts go together, don't they? We have these first three feasts, but 1 Corinthians 5, kind of a solemn verse, but it is an exercise to us. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 and 8. Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Let us keep the feast, therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What an exercise. You know, that they're one feast, the Passover and unleavened bread. They're one feast, aren't they? Quite frequently in Scripture, we have them just the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Starts with the Passover. There's a lamb that is offered, and digestion of that lamb is taken in, and the work that he's done. What did that lamb do? It saved us from the penalty of sin. What a thing to remember and to be motivated by in our lives, to worship him. What a thing to remember. And then we have that ability that he's given there from the work on the cross to walk in newness of life. We talk about the new man. We read those verses. New creature. Behold, all things are new. We have the ability to walk in this world. We have salvation from the power of sin. We can walk and walk without sinning in our lives by his power, by the power of Spirit. How can we not be exercised so? Thinking over the Passover, having it before us, and unleavened bread, setting aside those things. I meant to get a little clock start. Okay, I got my clock. Turn to James 1. So the first fruits, I mean, what an amazing thing to have. And I think of specifically of one aspect of the Feast of the First Fruits. I won't go into all the offerings, but aspect, they have this wave sheaf. I always thought this was very interesting as a kid. About what are they doing? They're holding a sheaf up and they're waving it. What does that say? God, this is all yours. This was your doing. This was your doing. Wow. That's the harvest that we're waiting for. We just might continually think of that in our lives down here below and be exercised by that. James 1 verse 17. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Oh, we can think about everything good that he's given to us. We can praise him, our ever-living Savior, and the heavenly blessings we have in him and our standing. We have that new standing. We have those heavenly blessings that he has. We can hold up that wave sheaf and say, this was your doing. This is Christ's work. And then we can have that wave loaf. I thought that's kind of interesting too, to have a wave loaf. So out of that harvest, at the end of the harvest year, out in those 50 days later, those seven Sabbaths, there's a loaf that's made. Harvest is made. Flour is made from that. It's made into a loaf. It's made into a loaf and it's held up before God. This is your doing. This is your doing. Ephesians chapter 2. I didn't have all my places saved here. I'm turning, so hopefully you guys have time to turn as well. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Good works. That wave loaf held up. We are his workmanship. That toil of that field and that reaping and that making of the bread is his work. It's his work. The trumpets, we can praise him. Shall we not be ready to speak his name? Shall we not be ready to proclaim Christ? To be unashamed to proclaim him? I'm going to read First Peter. We'll miss the other two. We have in First Corinthians, I'll just mention that while we're turning. First Corinthians, we have 15, 52, and 57. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? We have the rapture, don't we? Think of those trumpets that sound out. We think about the rapture, don't we? What an amazing time that will be. But we also have something that we should be doing in this world. First Peter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every one man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready always. So we can sound forth the gospel. We can sound forth praise to God. it's unabashed. Have you ever, I played the trumpet when I was a kid. And I have to tell you, if you play in a band and you can't play that trumpet and not be heard. So when you make a mistake, it's everybody knows. And the instructor, the band leader stops, is Andrew, you need to work on your, you need to practice at home. You're out of tune with everybody else. You missed that note. It's very abundantly clear. Well, we can be unashamed to express our praise to God and to be a testimony for him, giving the gospel. The Day of Atonement, I'm going to read 1 John. The one thing I think of is, I think of that mercy seat. And First John 1, it's 1 John 2 and verse 1 and 2. My little children, I write these things unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. That one time, one day feast. We think of these feasts that are offered, and we might mention that it goes along with them. There's always a sin offering. There's a goat that is offered, a sin offering. In this case, there's two goats that are offered on the Day of Atonement. And then we have the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, the Lord wants us to go camping. I say that I'm somebody that likes camping, but the Lord wants us to go camping. And I want to read in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 12. 13 and verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city, but we seek one to that is to come. By him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for this such sacrifices God is well pleased. What an opportunity. We think of that camping that they did. They were told to do, to go out in booths. And what did they do that for? What did they do that for? To remember how God took them through the circumstances of the wilderness. And it's so wonderful for us to have the Lord, that Passover before us at all times. He's done the work. The blood was shed. To be exercised to walk without sin in our lives. Because of his work, that Feast of Unleavened Bread. To hold that first wave, that wave sheaf to God and praise him for all the heavenly blessings he's given to us, our standing that we have in Christ and himself. And that wave loaf, we can say, if there's anything that there is some workmanship in us, it's of thee, Christ, it's of thee. That we would have our perspective right. All things that are good come from him. The trumpets, that we would be unashamed to proclaim his word in this world. Unashamed to praise him. Unashamed to praise this one. To be ready to speak forth. To be an epistle known and read to men. That Day of Atonement, that one, he is our advocate. He's our advocate. What a resource. What an opportunity to have that mercy seat. He's done the work. He's our advocate, our high priest. And then we have the Feast of Tabernacles, where we go outside the camp. We take time to think about all the circumstances that he has done in our lives, how he has brought us through our lives. And I just mentioned these ones before, bring them up, this little meditation on the seven feasts. That we would be encouraged to go on in this new year. I know we don't have new year resolutions. I don't have new year resolutions per se. We should have a daily exercise, a monthly exercise to proclaim praise to this one that has done all these things for us. Anyways, that was just a thought. I'd like to read a hymn before we pray. Love divine, all 296. Love divine, all praise excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Bless us with thy rich indwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Savior, thee we'd still be blessing. Serve thee here as soon above. Praise thee, Savior, without ceasing. Glory in thy dying love. First fruits of thy new creation, faithful, holy, may we be. Joyful in thy new full salvation, more and more conformed to thee. Changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. Then to worship and adore thee, lost in wonder, love and praise. Let's give thanks. Gracious God and loving Father, we just give you thanks for this opportunity to get up, come apart for a while and to think about thee, to be encouraged. We think of how how these words have been mentioned about how we have this Father that loves us, the Father, the Father's love, the Father's heart to the little children. We think about how it's been exercised to us to dare to be a Daniel in attitude and in grace. To look to that one that is the I Am. To think that there'll be opportunity in the future to be without alloy before Christ. The man of sorrows, the one that should be on our conscience and heart every day. To be peacemakers in this world. To be encouraged in our discouragement. We just give you thanks for this. We pray that we might exercise by these feasts that the Israelites were to have, that this is a shadow of things to come, a shadow of what we have and how we should be exercised to praise thee. We think of how how there was such a crescendo of offerings at the Feast of Tabernacles. So many live beasts and animals were offered to thee, that we would be exercised, this magnitude would exercise us to offer ourselves in praise to thee, morning, day, and night. We just give thee thanks for this and ask for thy blessing the rest of the day. In thy name we pray, amen.